Consciousness can be defined as wakefulness, awareness, and self-awareness. Brain imaging studies of people in different levels of consciousness, sleep, vegetative state, coma, neuropsychological disorders, can help reveal the neural correlates of consciousness. The strongest neural correlates of consciousness include attention networks, the default mode network, and the claustrum. The claustrum coordinates the transition between attention networks and the default mode network. Complex functions such as consciousness and attention require coordination amongst multiple brain areas. The location and size of these functional networks can differ between individuals. Credit. This post is based on Christopher L. Zare's Invited Physiological Psychology lecture at Truman State University. 10 years before, he sat in the same classroom as Dr. Schaefer lectured. Chris is a psychological and brain sciences postdoc at Washington University in St. Louis. He is a gifted researcher, dedicated mentor, and amazing colleague. Christopher L. Zare. Disclaimer. This post covers a small fraction of neuroscience findings for consciousness. The authors focused on the cortex and its role in disorders of consciousness because of the extensive neuroimaging work on these topics. We did not cover auditory and visual awareness studies, a major chunk of consciousness research, to achieve a 16-minute read time. What is consciousness? Consciousness is everything you experience. It is the tune stuck in your head, the sweetness of chocolate mousse, the throbbing pain of a toothache, the fierce love for your child, and the bitter knowledge that eventually all feelings will end, Koch, 2018. William James Stream of Consciousness. Consciousness, then, does not appear to itself chopped up in bits. Such words as chain or train do not describe it fitly as it presents itself in the first instance. It is nothing jointed, it flows. A river or a stream are the metaphors by which it is most naturally described. In talking of it hereafter, let us call it the stream of thought, of consciousness, or of subjective life, James, 1890, 239. Popular consciousness metaphors. Three popular consciousness metaphors are the tip of the iceberg, a sea/ocean of consciousness, and a theater of consciousness. Tip of the iceberg. Most brain processes are not conscious. The limited capacity of the contents of consciousness at any given moment is represented by the tip of the iceberg. The vast store of largely unconscious knowledge and representations is not available. However, much of it is retrievable from stable knowledge stores. Sea of consciousness. Consciousness is the water in which we swim. Like fish in the ocean, we can't jump out to see how it looks from the outside, Bars and Edelman, 2012. Neuroscientists have also compared consciousness to a theater. Below is Truman State University's Baldwin Auditorium. Attention selects salient information for further processing. It is a finite resource. We cannot be conscious of the entire theater at once. Our attentional spotlight illuminates part of the stage and gives rise to conscious experience. A pessimistic definition of consciousness. The term is impossible to define except in terms that are unintelligible without a grasp of what consciousness means. Consciousness is a fascinating but elusive phenomenon. It is impossible to specify what it is, what it does, or why it evolved. Nothing worth reading has been written on it, Sutherland, 1989. Aspects of consciousness. Breedlove and Watson, 2020, summarized the main components of consciousness. Table copyright Oxford University Press. Breedlove and Watson, aspects of consciousness. We can define consciousness in several ways. First, consciousness is the physiological brain state of wakefulness. This definition compares brain activity between wakefulness and sleep or in unconscious states, such as anesthesia or coma, Purves et al., 2013. Second, consciousness is our subjective awareness of the world. This abstract definition is more nuanced than wakefulness because one can be awake yet unaware of things in their external and internal environments. Third, consciousness involves subjective experience and self-awareness. In this definition, we have a sense of being aware of oneself as distinct from other selves in the world. We also have qualia, our singular subjective conscious experiences. I can not only feel pain and see red, but think to myself, hey, here I am, Steve Pinker, feeling pain and seeing red. Pinker, 1997. Wakefulness and subjective awareness of the world illustrate the easy problem of consciousness. Subjective experience and self-awareness illustrate the hard problem of consciousness. The role of the posterior hot zone in conscious experience. So it appears that the sights, sounds, and other sensations of life as we experience it are generated by regions within the posterior cortex. As far as we can tell, almost all conscious experiences have their origin there. What is the crucial difference between these posterior regions and much of the prefrontal cortex, which does not directly contribute to subjective content? The truth is that we do not know, Koch, 2018. Graphic copyright Scientific American. Posterior hot zone. Stimulating the posterior hot zone can trigger a diversity of distinct sensations and feelings. These could be flashes of light, geometric shapes, distortions of faces, auditory or visual hallucinations, a feeling of familiarity or unreality, the urge to move a specific limb, and so on. Stimulating the front of the cortex is a different matter. By and large, it elicits no direct experience, Koch, 2018. The mirror test. Few animals recognize themselves in mirrors. Self-awareness by this criterion has been reported for 1. Land mammals, apes, chimpanzees, bonobos, orangutans, and gorillas, elephants, and pigs. 2. Cetaceans, bottlenose dolphins, killer whales, and possibly false killer whales. 3. Birds, magpies, pigeons, can pass the mirror test after training in the prerequisite behaviors, Breedlove and Watson, 2020, Chang et al., 2017. Note. Left, chimpanzee, right, rhesus monkey. Researchers can train some species to pass the mirror test. There are several issues with this paradigm. Some animal species may not understand the concept of a mirror or recognize it as an objective reflection of reality. Other animals avoid eye contact with other animals as it can be perceived as a threat. However, they touch the dot if it is located lower on the face. Canines fail the mirror test, as seen below. Canine mirror test. Studying cognitive function. We can also compare brain activity across different levels of awareness and consciousness. Can this reveal regions important for producing or supporting attention and consciousness? In psychology and neuroscience, one of the best ways to investigate a cognitive function is to assess those with impairments or disorders of that cognitive function or to use animal models to produce systematic impairments to see how brain regions are linked to those cognitive functions. For example, studying hemispatial neglect, reduced awareness of stimuli on one side of space, allows researchers to explore how consciousness disorders impact consciousness and brain activity. The graphic below, Lorries, 2005, depicts neurophysiological states along two dimensions of consciousness, arousal, horizontal axis, and awareness, vertical axis. Graphic copyright John Wiley and Sons. Neuroanatomy refresher. Anatomical terms can be long and confusing, but they try to help you out by giving you location information. Pay attention to complementary pairs. An area specified as dorsal typically has a counterpart of ventral. Dorsal areas closer to the top are often used in more top-down cognition, whereas ventral areas are often in bottom-up situations. Superior and inferior are another complementary pair. The superior colliculus is located above the inferior colliculus. Graphic copyright Oxford University Press. Superior colliculi. Below are the major locational axes. Neuroscientists assign different names to the same areas, especially for function and structure. For example, the dorsal attention network, DAN, is also called the dorsal frontoparietal network, DFPN, and the default mode network, DMN, equals medial frontoparietal network, MFPN. An analogy for thinking about functional brain networks. We have superimposed a map of the Truman State University on the brain. What is a possible function of a network, including Centennial Hall, Missouri Hall, and Ryle Hall? Eating food. However, like brain regions and networks, these dorms are functionally important for more than just eating food at the dining hall. They also support sleeping, studying, socially interacting, and pre-gaming. There is greater network activation for functions like eating, sleeping, resting, and studying, but greater deactivation for going to class, the library, and leaving campus for breaks. Functional brain networks are brain regions that exhibit correlated activity when performing functions like attention. There are no task areas. A functional brain area is not a task area. There is no tennis forehand area to be discovered. Likewise, no brain area is devoted to a very complex function. Attention or language is not localized in a particular Brodmann area or lobe. Tasks or functions utilize a complex and distributed set of brain areas, Peterson and Fees, 1993. The role of aphatic field effects in consciousness. Hunt suggests a new focus on aphatic field effects, electromagnetic, EM, interactions between neurons that do not rely on synaptic connections, which could have a significant impact on our understanding of consciousness. The concept of the neural code, developed in the early 20th century, analogizes neurons all or none firing to digital computing. Neuroscientists have long attempted to decode this process to understand consciousness and cognitive functions. Despite efforts, gaps remain in our understanding, as neuroscientists like Mark Humphreys have noted, where the brain's neural firings do not yet fully explain subjective experience. Hunt introduces aphatic coupling as a potential solution to these gaps, describing it as a way for neurons to influence each other via EM fields rather than through direct connections, such as synapses. Retinal neurons provide a striking example of communication without spikes, using electrodiffusion to relay information rapidly and efficiently to the brain. This process demonstrates that neurons can transmit signals without the typical neuron-to-neuron firing, hinting at alternative mechanisms for brain communication. Aphaptic field effects, which are relatively unknown, operate through natural electric and magnetic forces, suggesting that consciousness might involve a more complex set of processes than previously thought. Brain graphic copyright Cetadium/Shutterstock.com. The idea gained credibility with a 2019 study from Dominique Durand's lab, where researchers severed mouse brain tissue yet found that aphaptic field effects continued to transmit electrical activity across separated slices. This activity gradually faded with distance, but the persistence of influence after separation pointed to aphaptic fields as a powerful, possibly integral part of brain functioning. The unexpected results prompted a rigorous peer review, which ultimately supported the importance of aphaptic interactions in the brain. Further research shows aphaptic effects to be incredibly fast, especially in gray matter, where signals could theoretically propagate up to 5,000 times faster than neuron spikes. When extended across brain volume, aphaptic effects could potentially increase information transmission density by billions of times compared to conventional neural firing. Although these figures represent potential rather than actual performance, they indicate a vastly underappreciated capacity for information processing within the brain. Walter Freeman, a prominent neuroscientist, had long theorized that synaptic speeds could not account for the rapid cognitive processing he observed. He speculated that there must be other mechanisms at play. Hunt argues that aphaptic field effects could fill this explanatory gap, offering a plausible mechanism for consciousness and cognition at speeds that synaptic firings cannot achieve. The theory gains additional support from recent work by neuroscientists such as Kostas Anastasia and Christoph Koch, who found that aphaptic coupling could account for the fast coordination needed for consciousness without relying on synaptic speed. Their findings suggest aphaptic fields could offer a new paradigm in neuroscience, possibly making them a central factor in how consciousness operates, rather than a peripheral phenomenon. Please read our full 5-minute science, Electromagnetic Fields May Mediate Consciousness post for more information. Cortical regions implicated in attention. Attention is selecting stimuli for enhanced processing and analysis. The dorsal attention network mediates voluntary attention. The intraparietal sulcus, IPS, encodes a salience, priority, map that controls voluntary attention shifts. The frontal eye field, FEF, directs gaze following cognitive goals, top-down processes, rather than stimulus characteristics, bottom-up processes. The ventral attention network mediates reflexive attention. The temporoparietal junction, TPJ, is involved in reflexive, bottom-up, shifts to a new location after a target appears, especially if the stimulus is unexpected, right hemisphere lateralized. The ventral frontal cortex, VFC, closely communicates with the amygdala and often detects salient and behaviorally relevant stimuli, especially when unattended. Graphic copyright frontiers in psychology. Dorsal and ventral attention networks. Voluntary attention depends on a dorsal stream from the frontal cortex to the IPS. Reflexive attention depends on a ventral stream from the visual cortex to the TPJ. Connections between TPJ and IPS allow novel stimuli to interrupt and reorganize attentional priorities. Graphic copyright Oxford University Press. Author caption. A. Regions shaded blue are involved in voluntary control of attention. Regions in green are part of a right hemisphere system for reorienting and reflexive direction of attention. Arrows indicate the presumed direction of control. Extensive interaction between the systems provides integrated control over attention. B. Schematic of the attentional control network. Connections between the TPJ and IPS provide a means for novel stimuli to interrupt and reorganize attentional priorities. In order to smoothly integrate overall control of attention, the networks underlying voluntary attention and reflexive attention need to interact extensively and operate as a single coordinated system. Subcortical regions implicated in attention. Based on functional connectivity analysis, subcortical structures are critical to DAN and VAN functioning. These structures include brainstem nuclei, the superior colliculi, the pulvinar, and the large anterior head of the caudate nucleus, Alves et al., 2022. Thalamus graphic copyright Sankram Chattakanichit/Shutterstock.com. Thalamus.